Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Your Attendance is Requested.
Our first reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 10, page 568 in our pew Bibles. The prophet writes these words, On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 14, beginning at the 15th verse. To set the context, Jesus is in the home of a Pharisee on a Sabbath night. They're watching him. It's late in his ministry. He heals a man of a dread disease and then does several series of teachings. And at the conclusion of one of the teachings, we pick up our story. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, Jesus, Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus said to him, Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to those to say to those who had been invited, Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets. Another said, I've just been married and therefore I cannot come. So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The slave said, Sir, what you ordered has been done and there is still room. Then the master said to the slave, Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. And then speaking to those who were at dinner table with Jesus, he said, For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. Amen, and let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift that you have given to us this day, this gift of worship, this gift of fellowship, a time of prayer and praise. And pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight. For it is you and you alone we desire to please, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Sarah Cummins and Logan Arahu announced their engagement and set their wedding date for July 15th. Save the date cards were sent. Plans for the service were made. The venue for the reception was confirmed. The contract for the plated dinner for 170 guests was signed. The $30,000 extravaganza was 2 years in the planning, and everything was set to go. The master of the house also wanted to have a similar kind of extravaganza for his friends and neighbors, and so he sent his servants out with invitations, kind of the first century equivalent of a save the date card. And the responses all came in. Oh, it's a special honor to be invited to the home of a wealthy landowner. So, of course, everyone replied, Yes, I'll be there. So preparations for this great banquet got underway. But a week before the wedding, for reasons neither Sarah nor Logan wanted to discuss, which of course we understand, it's none of our business, the wedding was called off. The issues of deep disappointment, of broken hearts, of broken dreams, difficult enough to have to deal with, much less trying to let 170 guests know and then return all of the gifts that had been so graciously given. And for reasons given, and not necessarily good reasons, the guests who had said they were coming to this great banquet also started to renege. At first flush, their excuses sounded reasonable, but not when viewed in the context of the day. "I've just bought a piece of land and I must go see it," said the first. No one in first century Palestine would ever consider buying a parcel of land without first doing extensive homework on it. How much rain it received, how much sun it received, whether it was a worthy investment or a worthless one. That excuse didn't hold water, and it was taken as an offense to the landowner. The second excuse was equally lame. "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go try them out." Again, a very significant purchase, such that no one would make that kind of purchase without first testing out those yoke of oxen to see if they pulled well together. Again, a lame excuse. And the third said, "I've just gotten married." And that excuse was considered rude and inappropriate, insulting even, for no man would speak of his wife or any woman in that way in that day and age. So given the response he was getting, the host became understandably angry. Well, with the wedding canceled, Sarah was stuck with another dilemma: what to do with all the food. A contract had been signed, and that close to the date, the food had been purchased. Much of it was already in preparation. There was no getting out of it, and a full course meal for 170 people sure makes for a lot of leftovers. The host faced a similar problem. As the day of the great banquet drew near, he had ordered animals to be butchered and crops to be harvested in proportion to the number of guests who said they were going to attend. And in an age before refrigeration, there weren't many options for him. And that's when Sarah did something which caused her story to catch the national media attention. She turned her anger and disappointment into an act of grace. There may not be a wedding, but there could still be a reception. "I'm going to throw a party," she thought. "I'm going to throw an extravagant party. But who to invite? I can't invite the people who were the original guests," she thought. "That would be rather awkward." So she invited not the B-list, not the C or the D-list. She invited folks who were on no list at all. She invited the homeless, those living in shelters, those who had found themselves in a difficult way. She invited the kind of people who normally don't get invited to the Ritz-Charles in Carmel. And they came, and others helped them come. They offered dresses and tuxedos and limo rides. And my guess is you remember reading about that story in the Indy Star. The master of the house did much the same. He too turned this emotion of anger into a gift of grace as he instructed his servants to go out and invite those who otherwise would never be invited to the master's house. Invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Invite anyone and everyone that you can see on the streets. And they did, and they came too. But when everyone was there and in their seats, there were still room at the table. So the master sent his servants out again, this time onto the highways and the byways, compelling people to come in, he said. You see, he was throwing a party and he wanted his house and he wanted his table to be full. The word compel in this story, I think, is a little awkward. It hints of arm twisting and collar grabbing. That isn't the intention at all. Think rather of the need for these servants to be persistent and persuasive when they extend their master's invitation. I can almost hear the transient or the untouchable of the day saying, oh no, you're joking. He's not really inviting me to his house. He doesn't really want me as his guest. I'm not worthy. And so the servants would have to do some persuading, some convincing, some compelling, some taking by the hand, saying, yes, my master really does want you to come to his party. My master wants you to be his guest. Please come. Friends, Jesus tells this parable while sitting at the table of the home of a Pharisee on the Sabbath day. At this point in the journey, he is under the microscope. People are watching him, everything he does, looking for a reason to arrest him. So this parable he tells with great intention. In fact, in Luke 14, he tells three different stories, all having to do with table fellowship. All of that after healing a man of a dread disease. Remember, this is the Sabbath day in front of a group of Pharisees. He tells this parable about a banquet because he thinks that the banquet idea is the best way he could ever describe this kingdom of God he's come to proclaim. The prophet Isaiah, centuries before, spoke of the kingdom of God as being a great messianic feast, a banquet, the best food, the finest wine. And curiously, everyone was invited. Everyone. Not just the select few of the chosen people of Israel. Now, that would have ruffled the feathers of those who heard Isaiah speak that prophecy, just as Jesus ruffled the feathers of the Pharisees when he said, and this banquet will include the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. Culturally, such an invitation would break every social norm. Now, when you throw a party, you're supposed to only invite those people who can invite you to their party in return. Well, these people could never repay the landowner for the banquet feast he was inviting them to. Theologically, Jesus is breaking down the dividing wall between us and them, between insiders and outsiders, by saying all are welcome here. No matter who you are, or what you've done, or where you've been, I want you at my party. I want you at my table. I want you to be my guest. Friends, this message is so clear for the church today. There is going to be a banquet. There's going to be a great messianic feast in the kingdom of heaven, and you and I have been invited. And Jesus, like the prophets before him, has issued a very gracious invitation, even to the likes of you and me. Folks who know we don't deserve to be invited. Folks who know that we are not worthy to come into the King's presence, and yet he says, but you are exactly who I want to come in. So get ready. Save the date. This parable, however, not only extends a gracious invitation, it also offers a warning to us. You see, some who initially say, yes, I'll be there, will end up changing their minds. They'll decline the offer once the real, the final invitation comes and the time is at hand. Well, don't be one of those. Don't let any worldly interest or pursuit distract you or dissuade you from attending the banquet feast of the King. Nothing is of more importance or value than this. You see, God's going to throw a party. And it's not just for the religious elite. It's for all people in all nations. So don't presume that you are in any more than you might presume that someone else is out. I mean, just as you may be surprised to see someone enter into the banquet hall of the kingdom of God, be aware there may be others who will be equally as surprised to see you. When those who have said they are coming begin to back out because they've gotten caught up in other things, things that hold no eternal value, our host, God himself, becomes disappointed to the point of anger, and he has every right to be. So don't make God disappointed. Don't make God angry. Don't refuse his invitation. But then this God of ours, this God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, does the most remarkable, unexpected thing. He turns his anger into an act of grace. He extends his invitation, saying there is nothing that we could ever do that would thwart the saving, gracious purposes of our God. So be assured of this. When the banquet feast begins, his house will be full and every seat at the table will be taken. So make sure that you are one of them. You see, there's going to be a party, a great banquet, an extravaganza in the kingdom of God, and the party won't be complete unless you are there and you've been invited. So your attendance is requested. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, by your graciousness, you have extended this invitation even to the likes of us. And Lord, we can say, I am not worthy. If you knew who I am, what I do, what I think, how I act, you wouldn't want me. And yet, again and again, you say to us, you are exactly who I want at my party, at my table, to be my guest. May we hear that invitation. May we know it is born of love. And may we say yes and prepare for its coming. Lord, hear our prayer.